The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. At the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, it states, Shoftim v'shoftrim. That you shall appoint judges and law enforcers. You shall place in all of your cities. This was an obligation on Klal Yisrael to set up a court system. And you shall judge the nation with righteousness. Leisater mishpot, leisakir ponim, leisikach sheichad. In no way shall you bend the law. You shall not recognize anyone before the law. Each person must be equal. You shall not accept any bribes. Ki asheichad yaver enei chachomim visalev divrei tzadikim, because bribery distorts. This is even for a righteous judgment. You're not allowed to accept bribery or money. Tzedek tzedek tirdeif leman tichye v'yarashtos oras asher Hashem alakecho naisen loch. But you shall pursue righteousness. You shall pursue justice in order that you will be able to live and inherit the land which Hashem has given to you. So here we have the Parshas Adayonim, the Parshas of the Shoftim, of the law system. Adayonim, Mishpotim, Mishpatim, this means, this is what we call the system of law, or the upholding of law, between man and his fellow man. That there must be law and order, there must be courts of law, there must be a system of law. There cannot be anarchy. There must be justice between men. People's rights must be protected. There's a Medrash. Medrash tells us here in Parshas Shoftim, Amar Reb Levi. This is in the beginning of Parshas Shoftim. Now it's in Hey Os Vov. Omer Reb Levi Lamaha David Emel Lamelech Shehoyele Bonim Harbe. We can compare this to a king who had many sons. And his youngest son, he was more beloved to him, more than anyone else, more than any of the others. And he had a beautiful orchard. And this orchard was more beloved to him than any of his other orchards. Omar HaMelech, the king said, Nesin ani asapadis azeh shani yei avai mikol ma shiyesh li livnei koten shani yei ve mikol banai. This pardis which I love more than any other garden, I will give to the son which I love more than any other son. So he gave this to his youngest son. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So did Hashem say, Mikola umei sheborosi eina evel Yisrael. From all of the nations which I have created, the one that I love is Israel. As it states, Kina Yisrael ve'aveu. Mikol ma shebrosi ina'ev asaldin. And from everything that I created, what I love more is that there should be law and justice. As it states, Ki ani Hashem ehev mishpot. I am God who loves justice and judgment. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nesen ani ma'asha afti la'am shani aiv. Therefore I will take my justice and I will give it to the nation which I love. And this is what it states, Sheftim v'sheitrim titen l'cho b'chol she'orecho. That you shall place judges and enforcement agencies in all of your cities. So there was an obligation on Klal Yisrael to see that there was a very, very good system of law throughout all of Israel, states in every city and in every town and in every village. There had to be a court system. The court system based on Torah law. And this was the prize. This was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved more than anything, and therefore he gave this system of law to Klal Yisrael. Now he gave a system of law to the whole world. The whole world was commanded on law. This is one of the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Neach that were given to the children of Neach. This is one of the reasons given during the time of Yaakov when he was traveling, and the people of Shechem, the king of Shechem, and his son went and abducted Dinah, and they refused to give Dinah back. That this was the justification that his two sons, Yaakov's two sons, Shimon and Levi, went into the city of Shechem, and they destroyed the city because there cannot be anarchy in the world. People can't do merely what they want to do. People can't do merely what they think they want to do. Like, unfortunately or tragically, we see in the world today. We see this in the world abroad. We see this in the world. We see this here and all over. And this is not tolerable. And this is one of the mitzvahs that were given to the Bnei Neach. They must keep the laws which were given to them, and they must enforce them. And it's on this basis, this is what the Rambam says, what right did Shimon and Levi have to go in and destroy the whole city? Because the city was obligated to maintain law and order. And here, an innocent girl is walking along, and she's abducted, and she's held for a ransom. She's held that the king's son wants to marry her, and he refuses to give her back. So this was a breach in the system of law and order. And the Rambam says that therefore the whole city was chayav, the whole city was guilty, because the city is obligated to see that there's law and order. So therefore Shimon and Levi went in and they wiped out the city. It's interesting to note that it's not like today. See, today you can have systems where one country can do something else against another country, and they can hold for ransom, and there could be hostages or whatnot, and there's long negotiations that go on they can go on forever. Then it's brought to the United Nations, they can discuss it also forever. By Shimon and Levi, there was no chochmas, there was no wisdom. They didn't give it back, but that was it. See? Yaakov wasn't happy with it. He wasn't happy. But the Mevorshim, the commentaries, explain that he wasn't, not that he wasn't happy, that he felt that they didn't deserve this. But he said that now they will retaliate against me. Why did you have to do it? The objective was to get Dinah back. So, you could have gone in, and you could have punished those that were directly responsible. Hamor, the king and his son, and take Dinah back. But what did you have to kill off the whole town for? See, even though you had the right to. But meanwhile, he says, I'm a small nation, and now they'll all gather up against me. So this is why he wasn't happy. But he still held that action had to be taken to get her back and to punish those who were directly responsible. And Shimon and Levi went further. And they annihilated the whole city, which the Meforshim write was that they had the right to do. There were different reasons why, but according to the Rambam, this was the reason they had the right to do. Except Yaakov felt that they retaliated a little too much. They had the right to, but they didn't have to exercise that right. But at any rate, we see that there must be a system of law in the world. There must be a system of law by Klal Yisrael. And this system is not theoretical. It must be maintained. And if it's not maintained, then everybody's held responsible for it. And this is what we know today in the modern world as the systems of courts. So this the law system was given, and the obligation of law and order was given to the whole world, but not in the degree that it was given to Klal Yisrael. The world wasn't given a Masechta Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. They were given the basic laws. But when it comes to the level of law that was given to Yisrael, This was something else altogether. Anyone who has learned Baba Kama or Baba Matsir or Baba Basra can appreciate that. That there are long discussions and debates and endless arguments are carried on in regards to the finest detail of law and justice, no matter what amount of money is involved. And why is this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes to the maintenance of judgments and of justice and of law of order, there is nothing more dear to me. And therefore this I withhold from everyone and I give it to the nation that is most dear to me. So the Medrash therefore says this is what it means, Sheftim v'sheitrim titen lacho b'chol sho'arecho. Close that window, please. I think it's causing a drift. Then the Medrash continues. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael B'ni Chayechem B'Shchus Shatem Meshamrim Esadim Ani Mishgov. If you will guard this justice and this law, then this raises me up, as it states, Vayigba Hashem Tzavokos Bamishpot. In other words, this becomes a sanctification to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. This becomes a Kiddush Hashem. That when the law is guarded scrupulously, everyone's rights are guarded, then it raises up Hashem's name. This is what Yisrael does in the world. When Yisrael sees how the integrity which is found by Yisrael, Vayidei she'atem magbim eisi b'din af ani eisi tzedok u'mashre kidushosi b'neichem. And if you will keep my law, then I will do charity with you. Now charity is another level. Charity is the level when you go beyond the law. The law is when you give to someone what belongs to him. Charity is when you give to someone something which doesn't belong to him. That's lifnim meshuras hadin. That's beyond the letter of the law. We are obligated not to take from someone anything that belongs to him, any right which is his. Not to infringe on his possessions whatsoever, but to give him from mine, see, that's not law. That's stoker. That's what is known as nifnim meshuras hadin. That becomes stoker and chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you will keep the law and the justice, then I will deal with you with stoker and chesed. I will give you stoker and chesed. Even more. And if you will keep both, not only you will keep din, you will keep the law, the justice, but you will even keep chesed and stoko, then miyara nigeleschem, gula shlema. Then immediately that will bring the gula. We always speak of the gula, the Yeshua, we want the Mashiach now. We always talk about it. It's not enough to talk about it. Do something about it. So people want to know, what should we do about it? So here the Torah tells us, Kodesh Baruch Hu says what to do about it. If you're mishamrim esadin, if there is in Israel, all right, we don't have control over the world at this point. We can't impose our law system on the world. But Israel itself, if Israel is mishamrim esadin, if Israel deals with other Jews in a matter of fairness, in a manner of honesty, in integrity, to the ultimate. So that's din. And if they also will go lifnim meshuras hadin, not only they will not infringe on anything which belongs to someone else. But they will go a little further. They'll even give what belongs to themselves to the other person. That's talking chesed. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, miyad. Then immediately I will anigel eskem gul shleim. I will bring the total redemption to you. So here we have what a person can do to bring Mashiach. Minayim, how do we know this? Because it states, Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Shimru mishpat v'asut stoka. Keep the laws between man and his fellow man, and do charity between man and his fellow man. And then ki krevi Yeshuasi lovai v'tzidkosi ligolais. And then my Yeshua, my redemption, will be very close, very near. So the first is what to do is that there must be a perfect conduct of respect between the rights of man and his fellow man within Israel and the whole world, but in particular within Israel. And this is the Shaftim and Shoftim, and there must be a system which upholds this. Actually, this system was elaborated on by Yisro. If you recall, in Parshas Yisro, Moshe was doing most of the judging himself, and Yisro gave the etzah of creating a whole system where it won't all be on Moshe. In the converse, we find that the Mishnah Masechta Omos tells us in in Perikei Mishnah Ches. Mishnah states, it's the Mishnah is telling us when, heaven forbid, great disaster or tragedy or problems come to the world, what causes it? So it states, Cherev Bala Elam. War. What causes war to come to the world? And unfortunately, we live in a world of war. There's been continuous wars during this past century. We lived through two world wars. And again, the Mideast is on the brink, heaven forbid, of another war. So what does Cherev, what does the sword come to the world for? Al Inui Hadin? It comes to the world because of the delay of justice and on the distortion of justice and on those who give judgment in the name of the Torah, which is not true. Inu Hadin, this is the delay of justice, the withholding of justice. Ivus Hadin, this is distortion of justice. And Amedim B'Tedish L'Kaalocha, those that give judgment in the name of the Torah, which is not true. This brings the sword to the world. So the Oral simply explains, is because of Midah Keneged Midah. Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with his world and with Israel according to the way they deal. We find that the law in the Gemara is many times referred to as the cutting of a sword, as it states, "Lifseik es hadin." Lifseik means to cut the law. Gezer es hadin. This means to cut the law, because the law has to be exact. If it's not exact, it's not law. The judge must hear what each one claims. And he must weigh carefully to make sure, he must accept, bring witnesses and weigh exactly what their claims are. And then he must cut the law accordingly, according to their claims and according to the law. And therefore it's called a psak din, lifseik es hadin, to cut the law. Ligzor es hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you cut the din, if you cut the law, in accordance to the way it should be, in accordance to justice, then good. But if not, then another type of sword will come to the world. This is a sword that will bring injustice to the world. This is the sword of war. So therefore, when we find war in the world, if we want to know a possible cause, the Mishnah tells us is because when there is no justice in the courts of man, then the sword of injustice comes to the world. Medrash says further, this is at the beginning of the parsha, Omer Bishim Gamlil, Alti Melaglik Bedin. A person shouldn't look lightly at what we're speaking about when it comes to judgments. Shehu Echon Migimor Agli Ailam, because this is one of the three pillars that the world stands on. The Mashi Shoninu Chachomim, which the Chachomim taught us. This is at the end of the first perek in Masechta Avos. Al Shleisha Dvorim Ailam Aimed. The world stands on three legs. Al Adin, Biala Emes, Biala Sholem. It stands on the system of justice. It stands on truth, and it stands on peace. These are the three legs which keep the world going. Tein Daitecho. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, pay heed. Shimatiso Asadin, Shat Mizazeya Asailam, Shu Echad Meraglo. If you distort, or you bend the law, so then you shake the world, because you're taking away one of its legs which it stands on. And you cause the world to shake. You cause chaos in the world. And this is what we see in our times. Now in this Mishnah, the Mishnah at the end of the first parak of Ovish. Let's study this Mishnah. Says Shim Gamliel Aimer. Shim Gamliel says, Ashleshet Dvorim Ma'elam Kayim. The world stands on three pillars. Al Hadin, on the system of justice between man and his fellow man. Bala Emes, on truth. Bala Sholem, and on peace. As it states, Emes U'mishpot Sholem Shiftu B'sharechem. That there should be truth, there should be justice, and there should be peace in your gates. Now, in the beginning of Ovos, there we have where Shimon HaTzadik came in. Shimon the Righteous says that the world stands on three things, and he cited three other things. He said, "Ala Torah, the Ala Veda, Val Gimel Iskasodim." On Torah and on Voda. Avoda is serving Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, and Gimel Iskasodim Chesed. So the Maral explains that in the first Mishnah, it's referring to the motives and the objectives why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. For what purpose did He create the world? He created the world in order that there should be Torah in the world, in order there should be the serving of the Beis HaMikdash, and in order there should be Gemilas Chasodim, Chesed in the world. But now, actually some have a different gift, and not Eimed, but Kayim. But now he's speaking of what three attributes will keep the world going. What will keep it in order? And the world must have these three attributes to keep it in order. One is a system, a court system of justice. Two is there must be truth in the world. And three, there must be peace. Now the Baral says various interpretations in this. And a quote from these this evening. Firstly, a man was given, he was given a seichel, he was given the mind, the intellect, which is the greatest gift that was given to man. Then he was given a life, his body and life, and then he was given his possessions. So we can divide man into those three sections. He was given an intellect, he was given his body and life, and he was given his acquisitions, his possessions. If a person does not pursue truth. You know, many of us, we like to deceive ourselves. We don't like to face up to the truth. We go through life not necessarily by doing what is the truth, what is right. If you find most of the time we do what we want to do, not what we should do, or not what we see is right or wrong, but we end up doing what we want to do, or what is easier to do. Yes, to justify this to ourselves, so we'll distort the truth. A person is tempted to eat something. We'll give a simple example. A person is tempted to eat something. He knows it's not good for him, and he knows he shouldn't eat it. But he ends up eating it. So he's not doing what is right to do. He's doing what he wants to do. And then, in order to justify this to himself, he'll give himself all kinds of reasons why he should eat it. Well, he's hungry, and he hasn't had much tea today, and so forth and so on. Now, that's a simple example, but unfortunately, we live our whole lives this way. So what is the person doing? The person is distorting the truth. Now, we're not limiting this to whether he should have eaten that or not. We're talking in his whole life when it comes to decisions, major directions, major approaches, and in his everyday life, dealings with people. The Rinal says something very interesting. A person like that, this is bitul haseichel. This is destroying the intellect of man. The greatest crown that was given to man is his intellect. The fact is, this is what defines and distinguishes man from an animal. So the greatest crown that was given to him was his intellect. This intellect can operate only on one wavelength, and that's on the wavelength of truth. Because that's the intellect, that's what it means. Intellect means that he can distinguish and he can define what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong. So that's the only wavelength they can operate on. Once a person operates on a different wavelength, it's not merely that, look, he's wavering a bit. He has been mevatel the seichel shelo odom. He has now destroyed the intellect of man. And he has destroyed now the greatest attributes of man. Therefore, we must be very careful. We must be very careful in our lives when we're confronted with decisions. Most of life is decision making. We have to make decisions and then carry them out. Be strong enough to carry them out. This is what most of life is. Ubocharto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I place before you life and death, right and wrong. Ubocharto, make decisions. So this is most of our life, basically, is making of decisions. And be strong enough to carry them out. But how do we make decisions? We can only make decisions in the light of what is true and what is right. We must be very careful. Because if we no longer seek what is right and what is wrong, and what is true and what is false, so then we have totally destroyed our intellect. Many, many people see all of the time minor decisions and major decisions. They are not doing what they see is right to do. They're doing what it's easier to do. Or they're doing what they want to do. And then they disguise it and camouflage it with all kind of coatings of rationalizations. Not only it leads them in the wrong directions, but this is a self-destruction of man. Because the greatest mila, the greatest attribute that was given to man was his mind. And there is nothing that is more an antithesis to the mind than sheker, than falsehood. So therefore, Ala Olam, the Olam is Kayim, Al Yidei Emes. This, the world, must have truth in it. Otherwise, we destroy the seichel of man, which is the greatest attribute of man. So that's why truth is one of those attributes necessary to keep the world going. Secondly, we said that secondly, a man has his life which he was given. What is destructive to a man's life? That's machlekes, he writes. The greatest destruction to the life of man is machlekes, is when there is quarrel and strife between man and his fellow man. Because there's a Yiddish expression, we lost at leaven. Don't let a person live. A person can't live when he's busy fighting. He can't live. You know, when it comes to war, you have many historians and researchers try to calculate the cost of the war. The cost of the Second World War, the cost of the First World War, the cost of the Vietnam War, and so forth and so on. The cost in Israel, what the wars cost. When they calculate it, well, first they start to calculate how much money it took to create, to make all of the armaments. And then how much it took to cure the injured. Then they start to calculate in life lost, what does that mean to an economy? You know, when they want to calculate it from an economical viewpoint. But one thing they always seem to forget to calculate, I never see it in the calculations, that during all of this time of war, what were people doing? During the time of war, what were they doing? They were head over heels in preparation for war. But people were not made for war. People were made to produce, for productivity, for positive productivity. If you have millions and millions of people involved in producing for a war, like it is at the time of war, you have a whole economy, a whole civilization, a whole society is geared for producing for a war. But that means that years and years are taken away from people's lives, when they could be producing something which is positive for the world instead of negative for the world. Time is the greatest asset of a person. His energies is the greatest asset. This is his life. Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say, he heard once in America, he says, they say time is money. Time is money. He says, what a strange land. They convert time into money. Time is worth money. He says, I say just the opposite. He says, money is time. Money can be converted into time. What do we need time for money? He says, we need money to buy time. Because what is time? Time is life. A person, what is the life that is given? Person has allocated so much time in this world. Shivim shona kayenosh. He's allocated 70 years. Im v'gvura yishmainim shona. If he'll have some mazel and he's strong, all right, 80 years. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a little more. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him time. So he says, there in America, they say that time they'll take in exchange for money. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him time, they exchange it for money. That shows the Western culture. He says if a person has money, he can buy time with it. Because the things that he has to do, perhaps he can hire other people to do. Now he'll have time. And with time, he can do things far greater. He can learn Torah. He can fulfill mitzvahs. He could do something positive for the world. This way, if you take time and you translate it into money, so what are you doing? You're taking life and you're selling your life for something that will benefit you temporarily. That's what the Gemara says. You take Chayilim and you exchange it for Chayishor. You take something which could last forever and you exchange it for something temporary. He says, if you give me money, I'll exchange it for something that will last forever. With that I'll do mitzvahs, or with that I'll buy myself more time to do something positive for the world, and it'll be forever. So the life that was given to people is actually time on this world. One of the greatest losses when it comes to strife, when it comes to war, is that all of the time and energy of this world that is being used for negative purposes, you have lost it. And no longer now can you use it for positive purposes. Imagine countries that have populations of hundreds of millions, and they are all preoccupied with war. So hundreds of millions of hours and days of time and energy is being lost from productivity in the world. Can you calculate that cost? That's the same thing in a person's life. If you ever look back and you'll think, here he's involved in this machlekes, he's involved in this chife, he's involved in this aggravation, he's involved in this, and so forth and so on, besides the fact that he's doing nothing positive. And besides the fact that, I mean, that he's not achieving anything there, it's causing him grief and aggravation and everything else. But look at the life he's losing. He could have used that life for something positive. He could have used all of that time. So therefore, machlekes, a person has to know, is bitul hachayim. That's the destructivity of a person's life. You have a lot of people that seem to like machlekes. They seem to thrive on it. But then they should know they're destroying their lives. They're giving away their lives. They're giving away their lives. They're giving away their health. They're giving their time away. The time that was allocated in this world, which they could be producing wonderful, wonderful things, they're giving it away for something which is totally worthless. Not only, even if it be worthless is one thing, it's negative. It's counterproductive. They're losing their life over it. So therefore the Manal says, the second area of man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, he gave him life on this world. So he says, there's nothing which is a greater beetle, which is a greater destruction of life on this world than machlekes. So therefore, therefore, there has to be shalom in this world. If there's shalom, then there can be the kiyum of the world. All right, that's the second attribute. The third attribute is we said that a person has kinyonim, he was given possessions. Now, there can only be the structure of a world where each and every person owns possessions if there's dinim, if there's mishpat in the world. A system that protects his possessions. If there is no system which protects his possessions, then there can be no possessions to people. This is, for example, what you find in countries where there's anarchy. There's no system that protects one's possessions. Anarchy can be, or for example, socialism or communism or whatever it might be, where it takes the individual's freedom away from him. The individual's freedom to own possessions away and to protect his possessions. So this is what dinim are. So therefore the Mishnah tells us, Al gimel dvorim ha'elam kayim. The world will exist if man will protect, man will uphold these three attributes. One is al-Haddin, that there must be law and order to protect people's material rights and material possessions. Two is al-Ha-Emes. There must be truth in the world, and truth by man, because if there's not truth by man, then he is destroying his intellect, because intellect operates only with truth. Intellect is the discerning of truth, the search of truth. So if there's no truth, he destroys his intellect, and intellect is the greatest crown which was given to man. And shalom, if there's no peace, then this is mavatl, the life of man. It just takes away his life. So therefore we must have these three. This is one interpretation which he gives. Now there's a second interpretation. And that he says, when HaKadosh Baruch created the world, he created three levels to the world. One is the Olam HaTachton. Olam HaTachton is what we refer to our world. That's what we live on. The second is called the Olam HaEmtzoi. It's a middle world. Because I'll refer to that also as the Olam HaGilgulim. That is the world of the celestial world. The world of the solar system. Oh, the sun, the moon, the planets and so forth, the stars and so forth and so on. That's a middle world. It's not the Olam HaTachton, because we don't live on that world. See, we live on the earth. But it's a middle world. And then there's the Olam HaElyon. The Olam HaElyon is the higher world. This is the spiritual world. It's the world where the Torah comes from. The spiritual world, the Olam Habo, the world to come. So these are the three levels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created when he created the world. Each world which he created was individualized with one of these traits. For example, when he created the Olam HaTachton, the world that we live on, to this world he gave, or this world operates very strongly on Mishpat, on laws, on the law and order of Mishpat, of the court system. For two reasons. Firstly, because this is where people live on. People live on this world, and therefore it's a society. It's a civilization. And society and civilization can only coexist if there is a system of law. So therefore this world was very set aside for the power of law. We also find, even in the physical world, not only in the social world, but even in the physical world of this world, we find it operates on a law system. Because scientifically, the physical world operates in accordance to the influences of the sun, the moon, and the solar system. For example, our seasons. See, our seasons are determined by the sun. Our tides, and so forth and so on. And when the seasons or time, night and day, well, this is determined. I mean, this is not determined by consultation. This is not determined by joint decisions. This is determined by a system of law. Kodesh Baruch Hu created this nature, and the sun decrees. The sun or the moon or the whole solar system follows a certain order, and they on their own decree when it should be day and when it should be night. When it should be summer, when it should be winter. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So you see that this lower world that we live in is a very adaptable, is all part and parcel with Deen. Where there is constantly we live, there must be constant decrees of judgment. in a order, both physical order and social order. That's this world. Then we have the Olam or Emsoi. This middle world, that's where we have these celestial bodies. The Maral writes that that's a world where there is no strife, no quarrel, no wars, and no destruction. He writes, and this is something that scientists have been probing for a long time, and they haven't found out to the contrary. The series, but so far they haven't proven it. He writes that everything there is basically remains the same from the time of creation. From the time of creation until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call in the Ketz HaYomim, when he'll call the world to stop. The sun is the way he created it. The moon is the way he created it. The planets are the way he created them. There's a whole discussion among scientists. Are they burning themselves out? Are they consuming themselves? Are they wearing out through the pressures of time and the pressures of elements? There's been a long discussion. So far, though, they haven't found any proof. There's estimates how long the sun can burn yet for. But they haven't been able to find any proof. Because we know in our world, everything comes under the influence of the elements of the time. There's almost nothing that's non-destructible. Everything can be, goes through the wear and tear of time. Or everything, there's decay, there's loss, there's hefsid. So Maral writes, in that upper world, everything is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. He created it from beginning of time to the end of time. So there's a different nature there than the Olam HaTachton, than the world that we walk on. It's a totally different nature. And there is perfect peace there. So you don't find wars up there like you find constantly wars on this world. And the fact that we don't find decay there, what is decay? Decay means when two forces come together and one force is stronger than the other. So it causes erosion, or it causes decay, or it causes loss. There's no such thing as decay. Because there is no strife or quarrel or wars, or where forces work opposite to each other. But they all work in perfect harmony. See, this is what it's meant when we say Eisa Shalom Bimreimov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has made peace, Bimreimov. That world is very set aside for peace. We make a tefillah, Eisa Shalom Bimreimov, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. Just as he's made peace there, he should make peace here also. That's a world of perfect peace. That everything works in total harmony. And nothing imposes on the other, and nothing tries to erode or destroy the other, but it's in perfect clockwork harmony. The fact is, the miracles of astronomy, the Chazal tell us, are the greatest miracles of the physical creation. That the clockwork, and we're speaking there of a type of clockwork that we don't even have a, where we don't even have insights into today. Scientists are finding more and more all of the time. We're dealing in figures of millions and billions and billions of years, of light years. And it's a perfect harmonious situation. So that's the world of peace. So that was the middle world. And then he created the higher world, the Olam HaElyon. That's the spiritual world. That Chazal always referred to as the Elam HaEmes. It's the world of truth. Because there is perfect truth. This world, the lower world, is called Alma Deshikra. See, it's a world of deceit. It's very difficult for it to be perfect truth. But there is perfect truth. That's where Torah came from. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu used these three attributes when he created the world. He created the world with three layers. So in this world, this world was very... He gave into this world the powers of Din, of order, of law and order. And we see that everything in this world must work with a law and order, which is decreed on it by higher forces. And man must decree law and order. And then there was the middle world, which there everything is in perfect harmony. And then the higher world, which is the Olam Elyon, which is the Olam Emes, perfect truth. And these are the three attributes which he used in creation of the world. Now, what does this have to do with man now? See, what's the difference to me or you? This is Hashem created the world, but what's the difference to me or you? Now, this is very important. Because it states that when he created man, he created him from all of the worlds. All of these powers he put into man. Medrash tells us, Medrash says, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba Perek Tes states, Berishin, on the first day of creation, Bore Shemayim Va'oretz Min Alyonim, Kodesh Baruch Hu created heavens and earth from the upper, heavens and earth, Min Alyonim Min HaTachtonim. He created the heavens from the upper world and the earth from the lower world. Sheni, on the second day, Yirakia Min Alyonim, there he created a sky in the upper world. Shlishi, on the third day, Tachi Oretz Min HaTachtonim, he told the earth to bring forth vegetation, so this was from the lower world. But we on Wednesday, he said, let there be light from the upper worlds. Bechamishi, on the fifth day, he said, let the waters bring forth life. So this was minatachtenim, from the lower worlds. Shishi, on the sixth day, Friday, he said, I'm going to create man. So what did he do? He balanced the creation. The first day, he created Shemayim Va'oretz, the heavens from the upper worlds and the earth from the lower world. So it was even. Second day, on Monday, he created the sky from the upper world. On Tuesday, vegetation from the land. So it was balanced again. On Wednesday, Yima Eiris, he said, let there be lights in the heaven. So this is from the upper world. But on Thursday, Yishut Zahamayim, he said, let the waters bring forth life. So this was from the lower world. So it was perfectly balanced. On Friday, when he came to create man, so he had a consultation. He says, where should I create man from? Imani boro min alyanim, if I will create him from the upper worlds. So akshav yeh rabim, o alyanim ala tachtenim, bir yeh achas. So now, the upper worlds will have one more creation than the lower worlds. Vein sholem b'neihem, and there won't be peace. And there won't be peace in my world. And if I create him, mina tachteinim, if I create man from the lower worlds, so akshavach tachteinim rabbi bir yachas al elyonim. So now the lower worlds will have another creation over the upper worlds, and there won't be peace in my world. Ela hare ani beireisei meha elyonim ume tachteinim. So therefore I'm going to create man from all of the worlds. When I come to create man, I'm going to give him a little of each world. Ha'dohu d'chsiv ha'yitzar Hashem elokim es ha'odom ofer min ha'adoma v'yipach b'apov nishmas ruach hayim. This is what is said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from the earth and from the heavens. But what it means, he encompassed all of the worlds. So everything, it's important for us to understand what attribute each world has, because then we can understand what attribute we have, because we were created from all of the worlds. Now, we see that man was created from this world, because he's physical, like this world is. We see that he was created from the upper worlds, Because he was given a spirit. Where do we see, though, he was created for the middle world? The world of the solar system, of the celestial beings? Somewhere else we see that also. Because it states that what is the foundation of Klal Yisrael? This is all particular with Yisrael, because they are the perfection of the creation, the perfection of man. Klal Yisrael, what is the foundation of Klal Yisrael? Yaakov. The Ovos and Yaakov. And the Shvotim. How many children did Yaakov have? He had 12. The Chazal say, why did he have 12? Keneged the Mazolish. He had 12 children. Each one represents a different mazel. Each one represents a different planet in the solar system. The Chazal tell us. So why was it that Yaakov should have 12 children, each one representing a different mazel in the solar system? What does it have to do? Because when he created man, the perfect man was Yaakov. He encompassed all of the worlds. He encompassed this world. He encompassed the highest worlds. He encompassed the middle world. And what did it represent that they were 12? It's interesting. It states that they were 12, but kulam echod, they were one. They were 12, but they were one. From Yaakov did not come out 12 nations. From, if we learn the early sedras of the early history of the world, we will see that from the early people of the world, as many children as they had, that's as many nations as they had. Like when it came to the three sons of Noach, so each one had a great number of sons, and from each one went and made a nation. And eventually there were 70 nations that came out of Noach's children. But when it came to Yaakov, that he had 12 children, the 12 Shvatim, they were not 12 nations. They were one nation. So if they were one nation, why are they 12 Shvatim? 12 Shvatim. Because they represent the 12 Mazolish. So if they're 12, why are they one? Because they represent that world. Because that world is a perfect unit. It's 12, but it's one. It's a perfect unit. Eis Shalom bin Remov. There is no friction there whatsoever. There is no conflict there whatsoever. But it's perfect harmony. And that's what it states, that even though he had 12 sons, but kulam echod, they were all one. Umiki amcha Yisrael goyechod boretz, who is like Yisrael, which is one nation. Not only the 12, but the 12 are nirmas. The 12 is in the echod, the gematria of echod. Is the Ches and the Dalet is 12, and then the Aleph. So the Gematria of Echod is actually 13. Actually, he had 13 sons. He had 12, and one was divided into two. Yosef became two Shvatim, so there were 13. So the 13 is represented in the Echod of the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. So even though they were 12, but they were one. So this represents the middle world. So each power was given to man. So therefore, he was given a power of dinim, of social order. See, to keep a perfect social order. Protection of every man's rights. That of decreeing law and order. It comes from this world. That's Alamishpat. Then he was given the power of Sholem. And then he was given the power of Emes, of truth, that came from the higher worlds. Torah came from the higher worlds, was given to man. So this is another meaning in what Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Al Shleisha Dvorim Ailam Kaim, that this is all one world. And in order to keep this world, we have to guard very carefully the deen. It's the law between man and his fellow man. Bala emes, we have to guard very carefully the truth, and we have to guard very carefully hasholem. And then the world will be mekayim. This is very important, as you can see in our day, that so much of this is lost, and we have so much sorrow coming upon us. It's very important for a man to realize what he was given. Like we said before, that if a person doesn't guide himself with the truth, so actually he's destroying himself. He's destroying his intellect, which is the greatest force that was given to the human being. The ultimate of the truth comes from the Torah. If he doesn't guide himself with the truth, then he's destroying the greatest, the crown of man. If he doesn't guide himself with Shalom, if he's not a Bereach Min HaMachlekes, he has to be a Reidev Achar Shalom. If he doesn't pursue peace and run away from strife and Machlekes, so this is totally contrary then to the life of man. This destroys man and this destroys his productivity. He was placed here for a certain amount of time to produce. And Machlekes is there can be nothing more counterproductive than strife and Machlekes. And if he doesn't guard the mishpot, then he destroys social order. That's this world. This world was given to society. There is no greater destruction of social order, of social order, than anarchy. See, anarchy is where the destructions of law and justice in the court systems. And that's what we learn in the Sedra, Sheitrim, Titin Lachol Bechol Shorecha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to all of the nations, but in particular he gave a more sophisticated and higher level to Klal Yisrael. Sheftim v'sheftrim, you shall guard the social order and justice in your world. And that we said, that brings geula. That would bring, if a person guards the rights of others, then that's the greatest sanctity of Hashem. If in addition to guarding the rights of others, he even gives from himself to others, that he says, then immediately I will bring the geula shleima. Heaven forbid not, then if the fine lines of law and order are not kept, then it states heaven forbid cherub olam. Then the sword comes, the sword of injustice comes to the world. See, like heaven forbid we see in our day. We should be scrupulous in our own ways to guard the mishpat and the tzedakah, and we should be zeicher to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua, come quickly.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.